Greetings, people of Earth. My name is Rob Wieland. I am an author, a game designer, and professional nerd. And tonight, I am the host of Theater of the Mind Players, your friendly neighborhood actual play show. We are continuing on our quest to play Delta Green this evening. Delta Green is from our good friends at Arc Dream Publishing. And it is a modern conspiracy horror game where the players play members of the United States government that have come together in an unofficial conspiracy to fight the forces of the Cthulhu mythos. This is our second season playing this game. This is our second story within this season. So if you haven't already, please check out the previous episodes to get a feel for what we're going to be getting into tonight. At this time, I would like to introduce all of our players. What I want everybody to do is give me your name to tell us a little bit about your character and tell us what your most memorable moment from our last story was. We do this every time just because it helps everybody kind of remember what happened, and you know, usually it's not just the players. It also helps me as a GM, because the memorable stuff is often the stuff that I want to carry forward. So without further ado, let's go to our first mind player.
Hello, my name is Tony Cheek. I am playing Andrew Graves, a.k.a. Agent Tower. My favorite part from last episode was Tiding's attempt to stop what's-her-name from blowing her own brains out. And then all went...
awry.
Awry.
Tits up, some would say. Pear-shaped. Yeah.
It did. These things often happen in Delta Green operations, but Tidings was
the unsub, but they were identified at that point. We're attempting to shoot themselves, and I attempted to quick draw and shoot their gun out of their hand,
and did not.
Did not.
Did not. Did.
Did not.
Not.
Hashtag nailed it.
I did not hit her, Mark. Nailed I did something. Not.
All right. So on that cheery note, thank you, Tony. Let's go to our next. Now that we're off to a good start, let's go to our next mind player.
Hello. I am Tawny P. Thompson, she, hers. And I am playing Dr. Ellis Mandel, also known as Teaspoon, a behavioral analyst with the Federal Bureau of Investigation. All of that to say that I was making extra time to think about what I wanted to say. I think discovering the stuff with the mirrors and like how we went about that was really interesting to me. Just like, okay, we need to cover all the mirrors. No, now the salt, which arguably, you know. But yeah.
It is interesting to see the cell start to develop occult investigational skills beyond just, what is this thing? Okay, how do we set it on fire? Okay, that's fine. Let's go on to our next mind player.
Hi, I'm Ethan Eichstedt Anderson, and I'm playing Philip J. Wilson, also known as Agent Tidings, and he is of the U.S. Coast Guard. And I think my most memorable part is probably going to be when Tawny started reading the spell or the board and then freaked out trying to clarify that she wasn't actually reading it out loud.
Oh yeah, because there was the weird creepy message on the board, and then yeah, she jumped over and was like, "This is just for the podcast."
I'm not actually. Ellis is not reading it for real.
Klaatu Barada. Oh no! All right, let's go to our next mind player.
Hi everybody. There it is. Okay. Hi, everybody. My name is Jordan Fishburne, she, her. I am playing Donna Rep, also known as Agent Trip, who is a rapid deployment force paramedic from FEMA. I would say that my favorite part of last episode was meta. It was how angry Sarah got when I was sussing out that her character was doing something suspicious. For Dango being suspicious, I could feel the frustration and it just gave me joy. That's all I have to say about that.
Fuck all y'all. That's what I have to say about that.
My character is paranoid. I have to lean into the paranoia.
Yeah. Why is it always me?
Like, just playing
you were being
character.
A little sus.
You were sus as fuck.
Oh, I had a plan that would have worked, so that's suspicious.
It's debatable.
Y'all are dicks.
All right,
that's a little sus.
I would have let it go if I wasn't paranoid, to be fair. So she does have a right to be frustrated.
Let's go to our final mind player.
Hi, my name is Sarah Babe. She, they, please. And I am playing Juniper Jackson Woods, otherwise known as Agent Tango, who is a historian for the Federal Archaeology Program, which is part of the National Park Service. Woo, yeah. And I think my favorite part was the conversation with Tidings because it was hilarious.
They both were kind of doing this dance of like, I think maybe you saw something, but you didn't see anything I did, right? No, I didn't see anything you did. Did you anything I did, right? Right? Okay then. And then they left.
Right, because nothing was actually confirmed. Nothing was actually denied. And now Tawny and Jordan think I'm a betrayer. So now I'm just going to play on that for the rest of this frigging game.
Twas a little sus.
Mm-hmm. So before we get into the game, I want to make a short corrective on my part. My pronouns are he, him. We're trying to do our best to encourage people to talk about their pronouns. If anyone else wants to jump in with their pronouns that didn't say them before, anybody? Did we get everybody?
I also forgot.
I'm also okay. He, him.
Same.
So. All right. So... All the cis white dudes failed. Yep. Shock. News at 11. Water is wet, and the Pope cracks in the woods. So, but we make our mistakes. We try to fix them, and we move on. We begin tonight, as we often do, in the dark, dimly lit corridors of the United States Postal Service headquarters.
Or my office.
It is, you know, one of those government buildings, you know, with, you know, drop ceilings that looks like it was built in the 70s and has stayed there. We fade in on a nondescript conference room buried somewhere in this maze of cubicles and hallways and letters and numbers identifying the rooms such as this, where, say, a meeting between members of a illegal government conspiracy could happen and nobody would be any the wiser. And this...
I prefer clandestine.
As you wish. And this is where T-Cell has been gathered once again by their particular handlers to investigate another strange occurrence. Ms. Green enters the room. She smiles at each of you, and she says, good morning, agents. I hope you're all rested, bright-eyed and bushy-tails for our next night at the opera. I'm sorry. I keep forgetting to bring in donuts, everybody. I will remember one of these times, but not today, unfortunately. Agent Tower, I'm glad to see you here as well. I believe this is your first operation under our particular umbrella.
Nice to meet you for the second time ever.
Yes. Nice to meet you all.
I'm sure that this is going to be a wonderful time of fast friendships, bountiful laughs, and hopefully not having to sanction anybody at this table. Mr. Dadler, if you would be so kind as to activate the briefing. All right, ladies and gentlemen, welcome to your social media and personal security briefing. I am Ms. Dollard. I am both a social media ninja and a social media guru. I double majored at social media school for those. I like to kick these meetings off with an inspirational quote. So the quote that I have chosen is, whether you think you can or you think you can't, you're right. Now, the exotic location that we're going to be sending you today is Elren, Indiana. Now, as you can see there in the picture, we have a bit of a car accident. This happened about 3 days ago. A 2005 Honda Accord collided with a telephone pole at approximately 2:18 a.m. The driver left the scene, and there was some blood found inside the car and on the pavement. The Indiana State Police were called. They did investigate it briefly, but as there was known at the scene, and this happened on the outskirts of or on the highways of Indiana, investigating it is something of a low priority. And that's good for us because we want it to stay that way for the Indiana State Police. Our next slide, please. This is Roy Walenza. He was born in November of 1988. His occupation is listed as a photographer, and he has two known addresses. There's an apartment. He lives in an apartment in Bloomington, Indiana, and we also have the business address for the Starbright Studio photography business that he is the sole proprietor of. Now, who would like some evidence? All right, Trip, you volunteered first. And she takes a thumb drive and slides it across the table. The reason we're talking about Indiana and Mr. Walenza is the video that is on that thumb drive. Now, there's a reason why I'm not playing this video, rather having Mr. Dadler play this video, and it is rather shocking. The video that was captured by a roadside camera shows Mr. Walenza hitting that telephone pole in a manner that makes it very difficult to believe he was able to get up and walk away. The reason why we are talking about Mr. Walenza and his late night car accident is because the video that is on that thumb drive very clearly shows that he should not have gotten up and walked away from the accident. Now, I will leave it to your discretion as to who will actually watch the video and see if you can find any additional information. But I will warn you that the video is very graphic, and that there's a reason why I'm not just having Mr. Dadler show it on screen here. That's another reason why we don't want to involve the local authorities, because from what, as far as I can tell, they have not seen it yet. So let's go to our next inspirational quote.
Excuse me. Do we know who took the video?
It was from, we do not know who sent us the video, because it was from a roadside traffic cam.
Oh, right. You said that. That's it. Okay.
That's all right. I don't listen to these either. Healing what? Takes courage, and we all have courage, even if we have to dig a little to find it. Here are your objectives and obstacles. Next slide, please. We want you to proceed to Bloomington, Indiana. We want you to track down Roy Walenza. We want you to discover the truth behind this video. And we want you to neutralize all vectors as you discover them. We don't want anyone else involved in this operation. And we do not wish for you to alert or contact local police for information or assistance. As far as they are concerned, this is a traffic accident, nothing more. But we know that to not be the case. That also means that you should exercise caution as you investigate, because if you walk in there claiming to be members of the FBI, somebody might make a phone call, and that will... The good news is that leaves you to your discretion as to what your particular cover story is. The bad news is you need to act with a lot of discretion, because we don't have a crime necessarily to attach you to as federal investigators. Are there any other questions?
I have just a couple. You mentioned the blood was found at the scene. Was the blood found there enough to assume that it was a very tragic accident, or did they consider it low level enough that the person probably survived?
Honestly, I can't comment on that. You'll have to talk to the person who watches the video. That, I think, will clear things up.
Okay.
Do we know anything about Roy's family? Like, does any of them live in the area?
The cursory run through that we did only pulled those addresses. You didn't pull anything like family members or anything like that. Yes.
Do we know if Roy was the only occupant of the car?
According to the video, it looks like it.
And the car belonged to him? It wasn't, you know.
Stolen? No. Look at you, already asking very important questions. I've been very impressed with how you all have evolved as investigators in your short time with us.
I hope that Colonel Mustard feels the same way.
All right, unless if that's all of your questions, we have some plane tickets waiting for you to fly into Indianapolis in just a few moments, or in a few hours.
Alrighty.
We cut to, you know, the travel montage. Now, my question is, who is watching the video?
I'll do it.
So I was going to ask you guys,
who has the highest tech?
Or because I know so much in terms of forensics and that kind of stuff, if I might want to do that, how the human body works, all that fun stuff.
Well, here's a question.
If somebody else wants to put another pair of eyes on it,
I wouldn't mind putting another pair of eyes on it. I just want to see it.
I am assuming it's going to be a sanity roll, so we probably want to minimalize.
How dare you, Tony? What? Just saying.
With Rob saying it was super graphic and that we'd have to watch it ourselves and to pick who watches it, that's what you thought?
You could also use it as hazing for Tower.
Oh, rude. We could do that. Oh, Tower, you know, first couple of
years. Yeah, this or buy us lunch.
Tower probably killed people himself. He's probably not too bothered by it.
That reminds me. I need to look up... adapting to violence for everybody because that was a question that I think Jordan asked last time because there are rules for. I've seen some stuff. Is there a point where I'm kind of like, meh? It's just, you know, it's stuff.
Or at least not like meh, but okay, I've seen this level of stuff before. I should probably go to therapy, but it's not going to knock me off my game.
That means I got to schedule a thing and I got this yoga class and I can't really do it.
Sometimes after you've seen enough shit, it's just shit.
You mean that literally.
Yeah, I think Sarah actually means that literally.
Yeah.
Okay, so.
I think it's chill for Tango to watch it with me.
Yeah, I mean, yeah.
So are you watching this in your hotel room then?
Sure.
Probably.
Okay. I need that mini bar real quick.
Oh, right. Like we don't already travel with liquor.
I don't drink on the job because my soberness could depend on your guys' lives. I saved that
for
home.
That's right. It's funny because... whenever I would drink with my sister when she was a firefighter, she's like, okay, I'm having this drink. Nobody can start a fire now, okay?
Yeah, exactly.
I do want to point out, so everyone doesn't think I just keep flasks, like, around the house. I brought this in from camping and set it there, so it's just still there.
Yeah, that's what I would say, too.
Johnny drinks heavily, everyone.
So...
She does not, by the
she
way.
Does. She does.
Rare occasions.
She puts it in a very heavy glass.
Tony or the person who's always suspicious?
I'm always the designated driver, so I remember all of it.
Because you don't drink.
Just because Tony puts all of her beverages in like a 30-pound glass doesn't mean that she drinks heavily. She just lifts heavily while she drinks.
She has one.
One. Yeah. One of those German boot drinks.
I did actually see
Tippet.
I did actually just see like a massive martini glass video the other day where the bartender was like holding it like this, walking it over to a table. I was like, that sounds great.
All right, so let's talk about adapting before we do this one, because this is actually something that we probably should have addressed earlier.
Adapting to violence.
Well, you can adapt to two things. You can adapt to violence and you can adapt to helplessness. What's the difference, Rob? Well, when you lose sanity to violence, that means that you're seeing things like you're seeing violence. So you're ambushed by gunfire or you're reduced to 2 hit points or less, or you suffer a permanent injury, or you kill in defense of yourself or another. You know, the usual stuff that I would make you roll for sanity. For helpless, that's stuff like you get fired, or you nearly get a bond hurt or killed, or my personal favorite, you zero out a bond because you're like, oh, a long time ago, we used to be friends, but you haven't talked to me lately. So what's supposed to happen for adaptation is every time that you lose a sanity point or you lose sanity by one or more, you mark a box on your character sheet. There should be next to the thing. There's an adaptation to violence.
Oh yeah.
Incidents of sand loss without going insane.
Basically, if you hit 3 of those and you don't actually lose any sanity, you've adapted to that particular thing.
Nice.
And there's kind of a, well, that's good, but there's also that bad. Because when you adapt to that particular type of loss, you don't have to roll for it anymore. But you take a hit, like a permanent hit. In the case of adapting to helplessness, you immediately lose 1d6 power because what does it matter anymore? Like, why do I care about willpower? Because all this bad stuff is going to happen to me anyway. Adapting to violence is the meaner one, though, because you permanently lose 1d6 charisma, and you take a hit to all of your bonds at that same level.
Boy.
Because,
so like, your actual score goes down.
Yes.
Damn. Yeah.
So, as I recall, so in the interest of fairness, we're going to be tracking this from here on out, because I don't want to, like, go back and be like, well, actually, the last game, because honestly, last season, I don't think anybody was ever really in danger of this. I feel like everybody kind of had at least one point where they blew a sanity roll and lost some stuff. Because basically if you suffer insanity or you hit a breaking point, before all those boxes are marked, you clear them. I'm sure our listeners and our viewers will be like, well, technically blah, 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 blah. But again, this is one of those things that as a game master, you sometimes have to do is, oops, I forgot that rule. And as long as you talk it out and apply it fairly from a specific starting point, it's okay. Like, you're not going to get every rule right.
Hashtag learning.
Yeah. Hashtag learning. So that seems to be the sub theme of this episode. So from here on out, when we're dealing with violence, or any of these roles, keep that in mind. Because there are basically three types of sanity rolls that you make in Delta Green. They are either violence, helplessness, or the unnatural.
And that's you mark it when you succeed at a roll.
Or without going insane.
No, anytime you lose sanity, one or more sanity, that's when you mark it. Okay. So even if it's a, I didn't suffer the big loss, I got the tiny loss, that still counts if it's a one. So having said that, let's talk about the viewing party.
Let's roll some sanity.
The video camera is mounted on what looks to be the overhang of a BP gas station. After a few seconds, a Honda Accord barrels into frame and hits a telephone pole on the right side of the frame at about 50 miles an hour. A body goes through the windshield, tumbles over the hood, and skids to a stop on the pavement.
Oh, on the pavement. Ow.
After a few tense moments, the body sits up. It pulls its hands in front of its face, and the left arm, basically the thumbs are on both on this side of the body, except the arm part is oriented like this. So the hand has been twisted 180 degrees.
Definitely not good.
And as he sits there and looks at it, you see the hand crackling back around and the bulges in the arm squeezing back under the skin. And the person whom you all recognize as Roy pulls himself up on to the hood of the car and looks around. And for a few seconds, he just bangs on the hood. And you, even though there's no sound, you see his face twisted in a lung-bursting yell. And then he stops and makes his way off of the screen. And as he walks, you can see his leg on his left side, like the bottom foot of it slowly pop back into place.
I don't like it, Rob.
So for those of you who are watching the video, give me a sanity check.
Cool. 91.
Ooh. All right.
Rough. At least it wasn't a 99.
That is a 49, which is under my 53.
Okay. So, Tango.
Tango's broken an ankle before. She feels it.
You're going to take 3 sanity points from that one.
Yeah, that's legit.
Could have been worse.
Yeah, I mean, could have been better.
Now, for the viewing ladies, do any of you have one of the following 3 skills? Humint.
Yes.
Forensics.
Yep.
Or alertness.
Yes.
All right, so go ahead.
Humint.
What is your humint at?
50.
Okay.
Mine's at 61.
Well, both of you roll it.
Okay.
Yay! 2.
Ah, nice.
25.
Okay. So.
Yeah. We're kicking butt.
The feeling that you get from Roy's reaction after resetting himself is frustration. Give me a what are your forensics at?
I have no forensics.
My forensics is at 61.
Okay. Jordan, you don't have to roll. You are, I mean, it's very clear that that should have been a fatal car crash. Like, I know that that sounds like, yeah. Well, duh, but like, you are like, there is like you can count like the 3 times he should have been dead. And
yeah, that was a neck break. That was when his rib probably popped into his lung. Mm-hmm. And ooh, that is very bad. Very, very
thanks,
bad.
Thanks, Jordan.
Not to mention the head.
You're
trauma.
Welcome.
Yeah. And both of you give me an alertness check.
Oh man, we're just like good and bad and good and bad. 94.
18.
Okay, nice. Well, Sarah, go ahead and mark that as a fail.
Yeah, we're gonna do that. We're definitely doing that.
And Jordan.
Yeah.
You paying attention to the. Yeah, I think we're going to do that. Like, I'm assuming that you guys kind of cycled through the video a couple of times. I mean, you know, you're in it. You might as well be in it. And yeah. Roy sped up. Like, he had an ample opportunity to get out of the way of the pole, and he turned into it.
I see.
Go ahead and give me another sanity check.
Oh, just her. Hey.
Just her, because she's the one who realized that this is a
suicide attempt.
I figured it out.
68 for 53.
Oh, that's going to be a wee bit of sanity loss.
Yeah, just a wee bit.
Just 3, so you're actually about on par with Tango there.
So, as far as adapting to violence, because I had Sam and I didn't go insane.
Yours, the first one was unnatural, so that doesn't count.
Okay.
Because you're more looking at the sanity loss of, oh God, he got back up.
Okay.
And Jordan's was helplessness because it's very helpless to watch somebody basically go, you know.
Yeah. Tango, it looks like this was on purpose. He ran into this pole on purpose.
He must have known that he had the power to heal and wanted to try how far it goes.
Or he's tired of being alive with this power that he has.
Okay, yeah. I mean, if you want to be pessimistic about it.
I mean, if you're trying to figure out how far you're going to heal, you don't have to drive your car into a pole. You can try to cut off your arm or something like that. You don't have to try to destroy your entire body.
But what if your arm doesn't come back? Then you just look like silly. I shouldn't say look silly. You look silly because your arm didn't grow back. There's nothing wrong with not having an arm. I mean, that's perfectly fine. You just look at it and feel silly because it's your fault because you thought it would grow back. It's fine to be disabled.
Yeah, I got that, Tango. I got that. Let's go tell everybody else.
All right. And then we convene in the smart guy hotel room who didn't watch the cursed video.
So what'd you see?
Oh, all very normal. It was fine. I'm not sure. I'm kidding, obviously.
Ms. Green just sent us on a vacation to Indiana. To
Indianapolis, yeah. Definitely unnatural.
Okay.
Car went into the pole.
We did see the picture.
Yeah. So car went into the pole. Mm-hmm. Roy went into the windshield and through the windshield and over the hood and into the pavement. And then he got up and walked away.
And there was true evidence that his body was healing itself after multiple fractures on the leg, on the arm. And it looked like, per the video, that he steered into the pole and sped up on purpose. So this looks like it was a suicide attempt.
Did you get any insight on his state of mind?
He was not happy when he did not die after that.
Maybe he's possessed by something. And he's thinking if he dies, he'll get rid of the possession or whatever is in his body.
I'm also wondering if we should look and see if there is any other accidents that's happened recently without a body being found.
That's a good idea.
Because it might not have been his first time attempting.
If he can't die, it might also be worth looking into maybe where else he's been, because we don't know how old he is. He could actually very well be older than it says.
Can I run the possibility of other accidents through VICAP?
Or maybe hospital visits?
I don't think you'll need a hospital.
Well, hospital visits
would be harder because the only thing that's worse than taxes is HIPAA.
That's true.
So go ahead and give me a research role here.
Ooh.
Is that a thing? That's a thing, right?
I don't see it, no.
Am I thinking? I'm thinking of a different game.
I do have VICAP membership access, though. As one of my armor and gear.
Okay. Bits. There isn't anything like, so VICAP is probably not going to have like every traffic incident, especially, and even if they did, it would be, you know, a massive pile of them. But I'm assuming that, you know how to do other basic research and you don't find any other crashes.
Ye old Boolean search logic.
Right. You don't find any other crashes of this nature.
Okay. Tower, what was your suggestion?
I'll say a month.
My suggestion was simply looking into maybe if he's been seen anywhere and for how long, because it's quite possible that if he can't die, maybe he's actually older than his file states.
Why don't we just go talk to him?
We'd have to find him first.
Well, we've got two addresses for him. We can check them both.
Maybe meta, but I want to check out the music he was working on.
That too. Oh.
Music?
Yes. Because he had a studio.
He's a photographer, y'all.
Yeah, he's a photographer.
Oh. Yeah, we knew
that. Photography okay. studio.
I was confused yes. for a second. I was like, he's a photographer.
I wrote the damn thing. I
was
like,
was he doing some album covers? Or
I wrote the damn thing, and I was like, what the hell are you talking about? But it's just tiny. It's like, oh, I didn't do the reading. I'm sorry. I fell asleep on the plane, and you get those peanuts in me, and I'm like,
I'm tired of these motherfucking peanuts on this motherfucking plane.
These damn narcolepsy peanuts.
I mean, in all fairness, if he's a photographer, he could have seen something that he shouldn't have. Or if we go to his studio, we can find out if he's been going to places that he shouldn't have in order to get photos.
I have a good that idea for a cover him. Story.
Sure.
We could pretend we're from Honda Quality Control. Maybe.
Hi, we're from Honda. They said this is really weird video. Are you okay?
Look, we have been trying
with the quality of your accident.
We have been trying for years to talk to you about your car warranty.
So that, case closed.
How do you think Delta Green gets all this black bag budget? It's all their reward. They get a cut of every extended warranty renewal.
Oh my god.
Yeah, who are they going to call? They're going to try to call Honda Corporate, and they're going to be like, we're sorry, we don't have record. And we'll be like, they're just so bad. We're sorry. They're bad at the records.
They just we're a new committee.
Yeah.
Like, because usually we don't come out.
Even better, you guys are subcontractors. Honda doesn't give a shit. Like, as long
we're
as
PIs, you know, yeah, we're PIs. They hired us.
No, not even PIs, because PIs, you can look up a license.
Yeah. That's true. They subcontracted the follow-up.
We're Honda insurance agents.
There you go.
You can still look up insurance agency licensure.
People know that, though.
Like, you know that.
And people take the time to do that.
I'm kind of a normal person. I mean, I'd like to think you'd realize maybe. No.
You realize you're saying this on a show where you're playing elf pretend for 3 years. Like...
I think that's normal now, Rob.
Yeah. She's also the one who multiple shows where she plays elf pretend.
Okay, yeah. I mean,
I would
never. If someone was to walk up to me and be like, Honda sent me to look into this thing, I would not be like, can I see your credentials, sir?
True. I mean,
can I see your Honda? Well, I guess
your Honda badge.
Your Honda badge on my desk in the morning, McCloud.
We just need like a monogram shirt.
Yeah.
Yeah. This is really a modification shirt, of the clipboard and hard hat rule. It's just
Oh my gosh.
Oh, we'll have a clipboard.
Let me tell you about the place.
Let's see. I think what kind of expenditure is clipping on?
Bureaucracy. Got it.
Office supply.
I was going to say, yeah, with your bureaucracy, you're like, what color?
How many gel pens would you like with your clipboard?
Really, what you need for whatever cover story you come up with is, you know, whoever has the best persuade to be the person who is the talking, i.e. not Tawny.
My persuade is acceptable in this game, y'all.
For the first time.
What's your persuade
at?
60.
I mean, 61.
I have 61 too. That's weird.
That's fair. Okay, fine. So let the ladies do the talking. You guys are clearly the Honda enforcers.
I have a 40, so yeah. You talk.
All right.
Okay, I think that works. That works.
Okay. So, after you, I'm assuming you go at like a normal, do you go at a normal time or do you, you're going in... Talking is both like let's break in, okay.
Talk first, so then break in.
You head to Starbright Studio. It is located in a commercial building in Bloomington, in a decent neighborhood. It's like an older building, so it's like on the second floor. You go up the stairs, you walk past, a yoga studio and a couple of other offices. And it's probably what, like 9:10 in the morning. Like you probably go late enough that you're like, you know, whatever normal business hours are.
Get some breakfast at the local diner, listen to the rumors.
Yeah. Hello.
Hello, Governor.
I'm just a typical Indian and I've got some rumors for you. Some of them are true, some of them are false.
We just flew in the rumors.
Yep.
So, but the door is shut and the lights are out.
Is the door locked? Can we break in?
Starbright is apparently closed today. The door is locked.
Did we try to be normal people and go to his residence first?
Or does anybody have lock picking?
I'm actually looking up what lock picking would be under here.
Well, it's not under lock picking.
Yes, I'm aware of that. I think stealth is probably the kind of the B&E skill. So
your girl got an 11, so no.
Your boy got a 71.
Ooh, I have an 11. Yeah, tower.
So tower, you don't even have like I think it's one of those moments where everyone is like, well, maybe we should go back here. Do we get a thing? And you're just like, I've opened it. Can we go inside now?
Can we just have one mission where we should don't just break climb in a window? Something?
You just needed to jiggle the handle. That's all you needed to do.
as he puts his lockets back in his pocket.
Okay. Into the
tower. So this is we're kind not of gonna a busy... run into any laser lights, are we? Is there gonna be like a acrobatic portion of this? Like
no, you're not gonna have to
this cartwheel through. It's a great security system.
Yeah.
This isn't leverage.
Mostly I was just teasing Tower because he got us in here so easily. Right. I'm trying to make a part of the team, guys. Okay. Okay.
Yeah. You're trying to become close to Tower because the last guy you got close to. Busy? Like, do we need to worry about people walking in on us while we're in
the studio?
Probably not. Like, it's like 10 o'clock on a Tuesday, so it's not that crowded. So what is everybody doing once you get into the studio?
Well, what's the lay of the land?
So you go in, you're walking into a like a waiting area, and then there are two other rooms. One of them says main office, and then one of them there's a main office that goes off of this waiting room, and then there's a short hallway, and on either side are two doors. One is marked with a man/woman bathroom sign, and the other one is marked private.
Do I hear or smell anything strange?
Do you have smell at a particularly high level?
Oh, I was thinking that was alertness.
What is your alertness level?
61.
All right, Daredevil. You you walk down that short hallway and you definitely smell photography chemicals coming from the room marked private.
Okay.
Dark room.
Dark room, probably.
Is there like a receptionist desk?
No.
Like, no. What about like a schedule book of some sort? Like any sort of.
Well, that would probably be inside the main office, which is unlocked. Tango, you have your hand up during the break-in?
Yes. I would like to check the tank of the toilet.
Hey.
You what?
That's where people keep drugs.
He forgot to flush. Like
you can hide guns and tons of stuff.
The back
you
tank.
Put it in a plastic baggie in the tank.
I mean,
the
get that. But,
I mean.
You don't do that to every person's house you enter?
I did that.
Keep all your snacks in there, Ethan.
I've checked all of your toilets. I'm kidding. I didn't.
Well, maybe I should.
I may do it now just to
be
a weirdo.
Make sure to laminate it, you know. But
should leave a note in your toilet.
Yeah, now we will. So thanks for that.
Yeah.
The next homeowners are going to be really confused. Anyways.
Tango, you do find a small baggie.
Oh my God.
He's a photographer. I'm so surprised.
Okay.
I have really good pharmacy, by the way.
Just you also find three shells next to the toilet.
Do you want to roll, okay. Want to roll your pharmacy? What's your pharmacy at? Actually, let me ask you.
20.
Yeah, you want to roll it.
Oh, 30. Okay.
This might be white sand in a bag.
No. It's definitely in pill form.
Oh, okay.
But you don't know what it is. Oh, yeah.
No, you need the internet to identify stuff like that.
Yeah.
So it's a baggie of pills?
Yeah. Or probably like half a dozen.
I would like to go into the admin office and try to see if I can find like a schedule book or I don't know.
Okay.
I would like to go in private.
Hey, team. I found some drugs.
Let me not see. Surprised.
I'll check them over. I have a pharmacy of 61.
This is Oxy.
Yeah. Okay. So this is drugs. This is
this is drugs.
This is some Oxy right here. Oxy.
What is everybody's occult rating?
4. Ain't got none. Oh mine, no, 10. 10.
10.
I ain't got none.
I got 12.
41.
Ooh. Ooh, oh,
really, Tango?
Yeah.
Tango. I forgot.
So you find, so you hand off the drugs, and then like, Trip is like telling you about the Oxy, and your eyes are drawn to a statue in the corner.
Ooh, shiny.
It is of a woman.
Okay.
On a throne with a lion, a cornucopia, wearing a mural crown.
Crown?
Like a kind of a pieced together crown.
Okay.
You recognize it as Cybele.
Okay.
A Phrygian goddess that was adopted by some Greek mystery cults. Like you know how Romans and kind of swiped huge swaths of Greek mythology and adapted it to their own?
Yeah.
The Greeks did that with Cybele, except it didn't really go over all that well.
Number one, how do you spell Cybele?
Cybele.
I legitimately was just listening to something that was mentioning this the other day. Like, out of game.
I thought Tony started playing Kickstart My Heart. That's what I thought that was.
So, statue in the corner, I recognize as Cybele.
Mm-hmm.
She's a Phrygian goddess. Does she have anything to do with the Korakos Yos?
Give me an unnatural roll.
Oh, well, that's not gonna be good. Oh, look, I got a 64, which is 63 points against my one.
Not that you know.
Okay.
Can I dig into the admin suite and see if I can find any sort of?
What are you looking for?
Honestly, like an address book or like a schedule book, notepads, you know, things where he might keep notes.
That might keep, you know, notes. Well, there is there doesn't seem to be anything papery.
Okay.
But he does have a desktop Mac computer that is password protected.
Can I also check like underneath the drawers, you know, weird places that weird people hide things? Like when you tape something to the top of the...
I know. Yeah. No, what is your search?
42. Okay, not as bad as I thought.
He doesn't seem to have anything hidden in this particular area.
Can we try to... Is the computer password protected?
It is.
Yeah.
If you want to try and hack it, you can give me a computer science roll.
Okay. I mean, I have a 40 in that. So let's... LFG. I rolled an 11.
All right.
Hey.
Double plus good.
The password is password.
He's a photographer.
Password is Sibylle.
Sibylle. Sibylle.
The word you're looking for is Sibylle.
Thank you.
Syllabus.
Yeah, actually, I think the password is Sibylle, because that seems like it's obscure enough that...
I'm assuming, did you explain to us,
yes.
Tango? Yeah. You got, like, the full history on who Sibylle is and blah, blah, blah. Because I have encyclopedic knowledge.
So what are you looking for in his records?
I mean, I think his schedule is important. If we can try to figure out what he was doing before the accident, what he was supposed to be doing after the accident, or if it's completely blank and there were things 2 weeks ago that now he doesn't have anything...
It's weird because it looks like he did have stuff scheduled in this interim, including like this week. Like he has, this wedding to shoot and this like commercial shoot and this things. And from what you can tell, he's actually like making a living as a photographer. Like he's a commercial photographer.
Good for him.
So it's
does he have anything weird on the schedule? Like, you know, just a name or like something that seems out of place with
cult meeting at 10:15.
Exactly.
Not on the schedule.
Okay.
But within his he has like a he does have some digital copies of pictures and most of them are sorted by like last name, date. Do you click through those?
Yes.
A lot of wedding photos.
I think I open each file and just give it a cursory glance. Like
a lot of wedding photos. It looks like he did there are two interesting ones. One is kissing booth, where he apparently and this one is full of a ton of photos, and a cursory glance shows that this was apparently at some kind of pride parade, and he took pictures of couples kissing, like and they had like props and stuff, so it was like obviously like a thing that they would do, and then hidden in that folder at the bottom, because there's like 200 of these things, is another folder marked dreams. You click on that one?
Yes, and the Cranberries song starts playing in my head.
You click on it.
Roll for sanity.
And that's when you hear from outside in the lobby a knock on the door. And everybody turns like, what? And that is where we will end our first story. We'll be back in just a little bit for the second part of our story entitled Fortunate Son. We'll see you then.
Greetings, little ones. Don't be alarmed. It is I, the Dread Grandlord. You shall bow down to Arc Dream Publishing for creating this thing you call a role-playing game. Our theme music is provided by the great and terrible Exandroid, and our backing music comes from the terrifying Dark Fantasy Studios. Also, our apologies for how weird these are starting to get. We've been in isolation for over a year, and that's all we'll say about that. Keep it sleazy.